Why China might be worried about a slowdown in its economy. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. China reported that last month it had a record trade surplus with the United States. That is another way of saying that the U.S. had a record trade deficit with China. It's not entirely a surprise. Businesses tried to buy as much stuff as possible from China and get it over here before tariffs hit. But there were some surprises buried a little deeper in the data. Chris Lowe is chief economist at FTN Financial in New York.
Part of it was because Chinese companies accelerated exports, clearly because the first tariffs on Chinese goods kicked in the beginning of July. But it's the other side of the trade ledger that I think is really interesting. Imports, not just from the U.S., but from the world, were a lot weaker than expected. What that suggests is both that Chinese consumption is slowing and also that Chinese manufacturers may already be cutting back on production.
Is this all due to the trade conflict with the U.S.? Is that what's behind this slowing?
There's no question that's part of it, absolutely. But even before that, China was engaged in this sort of off and on use of credit to stimulate the economy. The idea was to stimulate growth so that President Xi could cement control, installing a new government last year. And once that was done, China cracked down, particularly on non-bank debt. It's starting to look like maybe they've overdone that, and that they've already directed the banks to increase lending. There's a fear that the credit crackdown was already slowing growth, and maybe the economy would be so weak that it would be quite difficult to keep the Chinese people behind the government if they want to play hardball with Trump on tariffs.
Chris Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Thank you.
Thank you, Sabri.
And big bank stocks are taking a beating. Citigroup's down 2.1%. JP Morgan stock down 1%. This is despite both banks reporting strong earnings this morning that beat analyst expectations. Wells Fargo's earnings fell and its shares are down 3%. Investors have generally been wary of big bank stocks this year. One possible reason is higher interest rates resulting in fewer mortgage refinancings.
I'm Shepard from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I listen to Marketplace several times, actually every day, because it's got the economic news and developments that are important to me. I donate to Marketplace so that it can be available to everyone, and I hope you'll join me in this effort. Thanks.
To join Shepard as a Marketplace investor, donate online at marketplace.org.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell sat down with Marketplace's Kai Ryssdal yesterday. It's Powell's first broadcast interview since he became leader of the Fed earlier this year. His is an important job, maybe the most important single job when it comes to the economy. Kai asked him about influence from the White House.
It's worth pointing out here that Larry Kudlow, the chairman of the president's National Economic Council, and the president himself have said they are low interest rate guys. Larry Kudlow encourages the Fed to move very slowly on interest rates on the theory that rising interest rates would be a tricky thing for the president politically. Do you think it's appropriate for the White House to be not telling the Fed what to do, but saying these things in public?
Let me just say, I'm not concerned about it, and I'll tell you why. We have a long tradition here of conducting policy in a particular way. And that way is independent of all political concerns. We do our work in a strictly non-political way based on detailed analysis, which we put on the record transparently. And we don't consider political consideration. We don't take political considerations into account. I would add, though, that no one in the administration has said anything to me that really gives me concern on this front. But this is deep in our DNA. For a long, long time, the Fed has felt it important to conduct our business that way. I'm deeply committed to that approach, and so are all of my colleagues here.
Powell also said the president's trade policy could end up going a lot of different ways, and the Fed will have to wait and see what effects it ends up having on the economy.
But again, I don't want to get into a lot of hypotheticals. I just think at this point, we're watching carefully and hoping for a good result.
Are you watching with concern?
You know, when you can ask me the same question about a lot of different areas. So when we don't make the policy, we don't praise it, we don't criticize it, we don't, you know, we take it as a given. And in this particular case, it's not our policy. Part of the independence that we have is to stick to our lane, stick to our knitting. So really wouldn't want to comment on fiscal policy, really, or trade policy.
You can hear the full interview online at marketplace.org. Next Monday, Amazon kicks off its annual Prime Day. Now in its fourth year, the Everything Store Signature Sale is not just big for Amazon, but for all of retail. Marketplace's Aaron Schrenk has more on how Amazon's competitors are hopping on the bandwagon.
Overstock.com is running sales between now and Prime Day. Target.com's one-day sale comes the day after Amazon's. And eBay is offering deals all next week.
I think it's driven by fear that a customer lost to Amazon is potentially a customer that you'll never see again.
Jason Gillespie crunches data for ad platform Criteo and found that most e-tailers actually see a sales bump on Prime Day, especially those promoting their own bigger or earlier deals.
They owe Jeff Bezos a thank you note here for basically fabricating a retail holiday out of nothing.
One that's growing each year. But it's not like July is the new December. Retail analyst Sucharita Kadali at Forrester says the e-commerce industry generates, on average, $1 billion a day.
Prime Day probably collectively generates $2 billion. So that's nice, but it doesn't make or break a month.
She says it's hard to tell if the sales event is generating more purchases or just consolidating a bunch of buying activity into one day. I'm Aaron Schrenk for Marketplace.
Two Blockbuster stores in Alaska are closing up next weekend. After the two Alaska stores close, there will be only one left in the whole country. It'll be in Bend, Oregon. For those of you unfamiliar, Blockbuster is like a type of Netflix, but in a physical place. People would go there to actually physically rent movies. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.